you 2 friends cards, 10 CDs, 2 CITR shirts or bags, and 2 limited edition CITR t-shirts.
So please tune in to CITR 101.9 FM's very first fun drive, starting Friday, November 10th to the 24th. A real hood wouldn't be that pretty. I ain't here for no problems. The beef is less biting and more sloppy.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Into Juicebox, featured on campus and community radio CITR 101.9 on the FM dial, fresh and live in the Lotus Land of Vancouver, BC. Or maybe you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca or checking out our podcast at a later date from JuiceboxRadio.com. Anyway, you came to share this hour with us, and we're glad to have you. Tonight on the new Juicebox Radio, yes, 10 p.m. podcasted and changing every week, we have a special show in store for you. And if you have something to contribute to the conversation tonight, please feel free to call in at 604-822-2487.
Did you miss us?
I hope they did.
We were gone for 2 weeks. I know, you probably missed us, didn't you? As you may know already, my listeners, my dedicated listeners, when I think about men's pleasure...
Men's pleasure. Julia, you know I'm all for that, but I thought tonight's show was supposed to be about...
Okay, well, let me finish what I was going to say.
Okay.
You'd see where I was going with this, so...
I do.
Listeners, as you can hear, we both believe in men experiencing sexual pleasure. Caroline and I. But one of the primary reasons it's reduced is erectile difficulties, or what is sometimes referred to as ED.
Erectile dysfunction.
Yeah. So the last time I did a show on penises, I covered quite deeply the topic of circumcision. Being an advocate to put a stop to this practice, I dedicated almost an entire show to it. And I believe one of the primary reasons that men have increased erectile difficulties over their lifetime is because they have been circumcised.
Wow. I can understand why that would make sense. If the foreskin, and I didn't even realize that the foreskin was an organ until you educated me about that today, is removed, the glands of the penis are completely exposed, and I guess over time that would completely desensitize those exposed nerve endings, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not completely desensitizing them, but it does do so over time, just like vibrators will do to a clitoris or you know, any other nerve endings, any kind of extreme rubbing or friction or whatever will eventually desensitize the nerve endings, which means sometimes you can't get it up as well, you can't get off as easily, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But it doesn't completely get rid of it or anything, it just reduces it. And why would we want to reduce that? Because that reduces your pleasure.
Exactly, and we're all for pleasure. Pleasure questers we are.
Yeah, so that's what I believed, but my theory, you know, years ago when I did my first show on this, was unfounded as far as in the research and on scientific experiments until, I guess, about a year ago or so, I dug up some studies that prove that circumcision does affect sexual performance.
And please tell me these were done on adults. I just had this horrible vision in my head of medical testing on baby penises, and I really did not like that.
Of course, these studies had to be done on grown men. I mean, circumcised babies don't really know the difference, which is kind of part of why I think some of the men down the road that have been into forced to have themselves circumcised later in their life really resent their parents for not doing the circumcision when they were babies. But I speak a different story to my friends who are struggling with this decision. And that's because it is done without consent.
Yes.
And that is my biggest beef with it is the fact that it is removing an organ from your body that's perfectly natural and has no need to be removed without consent of the person that you're removing it from. So, but that's sort of my political side of things. I mean, I have other reasons as well, which you're going to talk about in this hour.
And I want to know about the study you and Larry.
So adult circumcision affects a guy's sexual performance, but not all in bad ways, according to this study that was written in a scientific journal called Adult Urology. Circumcised men take longer to reach ejaculation. That's what the study says, which can be viewed by some as an advantage rather than a complication.
For some guys, that could be a huge benefit. Well, maybe for the women that they're with. Maybe Viagra sales would go down if guys had more foreskin.
Yeah, maybe Viagra sales would... Well, I firmly believe that Viagra sales would be absolutely, like, cut by two-thirds if we had not been dealing with men that had been circumcised. Most of the people that use Viagra have been circumcised later in life, the ones that later in life. People use Viagra today much younger and not having any erectile dysfunction because it gives them this huge hard erection for 24 hours.
Yeah, well, it makes them feel good, especially if you're dating somebody new and they want to impress them and last forever.
Yeah, yeah. So in that case, I guess, you know, it does take longer to reach ejaculation and that can be a benefit for some, but what I'm sort of speaking about today is the fact that that desensitization is what can lead to erectile function problems as time goes on. And I think also if you vigorously masturbate a lot without lube, but you're just using your rough hands as a guy, you're also going to affect your sensitivity. So I was saying on the show a couple of weeks ago to use lubricant if you're not circumcised. I mean, if you are circumcised, if you've been cut, that you use lubricant when you masturbate. Don't masturbate with a dry hand because it will help to keep your sensitivity up, which I think is important for a lot of guys, and to keep your erectile function good over your lifetime. So good habit to get into, to use some kind of lubricant or soap in the shower or whatever, you know. That kind of thing.
So the study.
So the study we're talking about here is about, there's 42 men. They were all about 22 years old who had not been circumcised up until that point. So
wow. I mean, I know if I was a guy, I'd be so sensitive about getting an organ chopped off. I mean, who are these type of guys who participate in this study? Like, why would you choose that at the age of 22?
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's to do with the medical reason. Most people that have circumcision in later life has to do with the medical purpose. But for this reason, for these people, this particular study, these 42 men, most of them were for religious reasons.
Okay.
And they were there was a Muslim grouping, and I guess they were becoming Muslim later in life, and so they wanted to go through that process
Understood.
And be circumcised for their religion. And they were all heterosexual and apparently sexually active, and none was using any kind of medication or device to promote erections, so they all had healthy erections.
Okay.
But before the circumcisions, the doctors evaluated their sexual performance by asking them about sex drive, erection, ejaculation problems, and overall satisfaction. And these men were also asked to note how long they took to reach ejaculation during at least 3 sessions of sexual intercourse. So they had them do this measurement before they got their foreskin removed.
Okay. And after the surgery?
So 12 weeks after the surgery, the men again answered detailed questions. So it gave them time to recover and then have a sexual life again and see how they were doing. And they were to report on how long reaching ejaculation took. And the results were that everything was working smoothly. Their erections, their arousal, their sex drive, all was all right, except ejaculation, which took significantly longer after circumcision.
For us.
So... again, adult circumcision may lessen the penis sensitivity, resulting in a delay to reach ejaculation. But consider this over a lifetime. There's going to be an effect. Now, the lead researcher says that after completing this study, we can say that with more certainty that adult circumcision does not adversely affect sexual function. That's adult circumcision.
Okay.
The increase in time to reach ejaculation can be considered an advantage rather than a complication. But let's keep in mind that the sexual function is affected.
True.
And these people were done at 22, where their penis had been, the penis glands, the head of the penis, had been protected by the foreskin over their lifetime up till they were 22. So they, in fact, are probably not going to have as much of an effect later in life. It's not going to affect their erectile function as much as somebody who has not had a foreskin since they were, you know, a few months old. So, anyway, I don't know. According to Edward Wallerstein, author of Circumcision, an American Health Fallacy, 80% of the world's population does not practice circumcision and have never done so.
Wow.
So Wallerstein says that non-circumcising nations are ones like Holland, Belgium, France, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, Scandinavia, China, the USSR, and Japan. And there's other countries that I know of as well, like Jamaica and a lot of South America, the ones that aren't Catholic. Mm-hmm. And even Catholics, they don't actually circumcise either. But I find sometimes in South America they have people that do it for religious reasons as well. But those are also countries. There's a ton of countries that it's just not a normal, not a frequent practice. It doesn't happen.
I was really curious how it began. According to Wallerstein, there's evidence of that type of performance in Israel and Neolithic times with flint knives. Can you imagine that? 6,000 years ago.
Yeah. I know, and with knives, and it's just like butchering.
It's scary.
It was seriously a butcher situation.
Yeah, it sounds like something that should be in one of those sick and twisted cartoons. Seriously.
But historically speaking, I mean, circumcision was mostly a cultural practice, just like other forms of body modification. It's really an opportunity to establish yourself as a part of a group or a club.
The things we do for culture and religion. Well, I guess what we believe to be true is true, isn't it? It's all about perception.
Yeah, it's about perception. But, you know, it's a perception shared by Muslims and Jews and some black communities in Africa and some non-white Australians and some other groups. And that's a perception that for them, it's important. That's part of their religious practice.
And for a long time, a lot of people believed it was really important for health reasons. I think I'd probably get circumcised, too, if I thought it cured hundreds of ailments. That's what they actually believed in 1891. Mm-hmm. Dr. Redodino actually claimed that it cured illnesses such as alcoholism, epilepsy, asthma, hernia, gout, rheumatism, kidney disease, etc. People probably still believe some of that because apparently the book was reprinted in 1974 without any changes.
Oh my God, a book written in 1891?
Yes.
Wow, reprinted in 74. That's frightening.
It is. It's very, very frightening.
Weird. Okay. Well, anyway, I know I have to tell people right now, it's been 15 minutes since you've heard about the funding drive that's happening, and we have to talk about the funding drive.
We do.
Because it's really exciting, and it's something that we need, and right now, I know my dedicated listeners, you've been listening to Juicebox for so many years, and think about all the hours that myself and my Juicebox girls have put into doing the show, and we do it all for free, and this station's been working so hard for 25 years, and they need money. It's like, this place has fallen apart, man. It's really, like, the board that we use right now, the one I'm looking at, the one I engineer from, it's archaic. Like, I don't even know if we're speaking loudly over if you can get us.
Yeah.
There's like the needle is just all over the place, and I don't know. This place needs some serious overhauling.
It does. It hasn't been upgraded in 10 years. It needs a makeover.
And if you love CITR, you need to pledge. You need to pledge. So during, I guess it's from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. You can call 604-822-8648 to donate.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, you can donate online at citr.ca, and it's /donate. And there's all kinds of information there. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to Juicebox over the internet right now, just log on to citr.ca /donate. And, you know, give us some of your money, man. You can pledge, a measly...
Give the station some of the money.
You can give the station some of your money. You can pledge a measly $25 and get like this really cool friends card that gets you you can get your money back within one visit to places like Slickety Jim's or Berkus Angels or some of the cool record and music shops in Vancouver.
And saying some of the t-shirts are really cool.
The t-shirts are really cool.
More
you can get
money.
A CD, new CD. I've seen the CDs. They're really cool. There's a good selection there. But if you pay like $60 or like $101 $101.90, it's like you get all kinds of stuff, man. It's as much, if not more, than what you pledge anyway, and you're doing the station so much good. So
yeah, it's a win-win situation.
Absolutely.
You get a little and you give a little.
Yeah, and then I think that Caroline and I were willing to
possibly
do a double date with any of the people that are willing to pledge some money to this worthy cause.
Mm-hmm.
If you say that your favorite show is Juice Box, and they will let us know who it was that pledged, and we will be in touch with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pledge the 101.9, $101.90 or up,
or
which
more,
you can do $250 or $200.
Because
we're definitely worth it. Caroline and I will take you out on a double date, and we will give you some of
our sage advice
on how to have a better sex life in your own personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what more? That's worth hundreds of dollars. So I know we're supposed to clear this with the station first, but for some reason, I think they're not going to mind.
I think they'll be quite happy with it. They might even pledge themselves.
That's right. So, all right. And what else? Are we taking calls?
There was a caller.
I couldn't answer you right now. I'm sorry. I was fooling with the thing, and somebody called, and I was like,
Well, caller, please call back.
Yeah.
We want to know what your questions are in terms of circumcision, or if you have any comments.
And that's
or if you want to donate money.
And that's 822-2487, that's 604-822, or UBCCITR.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to the show.
Yeah.
So I just want to reiterate really quickly that we're taught... Oh, caller's
oh,
calling.
We got people calling.
We've got a caller.
Hello. Oh, no, I guess we got to answer before I say hello.
God, I don't know.
Oh, technical, technical.
Are you on the line?
Hi, Julia.
Hi.
Hi,
hello.
It's Hans calling here. Listen,
hello.
You, I don't know why it is so widely accepted, this whole circumcision in North America. It's just this beyond me, it's a barbaric thing, and it's just people think that's a normal thing to do. And, you know, it comes out from ancient times when, you know, they were separating slaves from free people by actually circumcising them.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of other reasons they did it back then. And, I mean, part of the hygiene movement as well, right? And
that makes no sense with the hygiene. You know, vagina, it could be much dirtier than this. Well, you
absolutely
can't cut this out, can you?
No, exactly. And, I mean, mm-hmm, we will talk about that later in the show, too. It's just that it just doesn't make any sense that you think that...
You know, you would have to cut all ears and noses because, you know, you can't clean them up. It's just that the medical reason is absolutely a nuisance.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking about some studies later in the show, too, though, so about kind of
why
arguing against that. And the reason that we want to do the show tonight in the first place, Hans, is because we decided that there's this new research coming out all over the place. It's all over the news saying that circumcision reduces your probability of getting a sexually transmitted infection. So this is like this new thing. They're blowing it across all the news, and I'm just absolutely pissed about it. So I'm
especially when you do it to the child, that you can't really say no or yes. You know,
exactly, as Julia was saying, not giving informed consent.
Yeah,
yes.
They're not consenting.
I'm not going to take your time, good guess, but I thought I have to call it.
Thanks for calling, babe.
Ciao.
See you later.
We'll get to see him a little bit later.
Oh, yeah. Hot home. I like to call him.
I hope you can hear that.
That's the best part about changing the time slot is to get to see Hans every week. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So in North
America... But you were talking about the hygiene myth.
Yeah. So in North America during, like, the mid-20th century, everyone was pro-circumcision because of the hygiene myth, like the belief that without a foreskin, it's easier for Junior to keep his penis clean.
Which, I mean, as a parent, because you got to remember, parents do this kind of stuff out of love because, you know, lack of knowledge or what they believe to be true at the time. And, I mean, if I believe that my kid's penis would fall off because of bad hygiene, I would probably get it circumcised too as a
mm-hmm,
child,
mm-hmm,
which is what a lot of people believed.
And then, you know, the reason that people clung to that thinking was because it meant that parents didn't have to talk to their children
mm-hmm
about their genitals. I mean, heaven forbid, even if it was just about normal day-to-day hygiene. The opinion was genitals are for sex and sex is dirty. I mean, you could teach a boy about bowel movements and toilet paper, but you couldn't possibly teach him about retracting his foreskin to clean his penis properly. I mean, no, can't have a boy knowing about his own body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Better just cut that little bit of essential skin off in the name of hygiene and save yourself a conversation. So, you know, that's where I have my biggest problem. It's like... Mid-20th century society allowed the circumcision hygiene myth to continue because it meant that people wouldn't have to talk about sexuality, and that was much more comfortable for everybody at that time.
It was. It's just the roots of the Victorian era just rearing its ugly head. No pun, since we're talking about penises and heads.
Oh my God.
Sorry. I've got such a filthy mind. It's my Scorpio roots coming up.
It adds a lot of flavor to Juicebox now, Caroline, so it's all good.
But seriously, I think that's probably why people thought that a circumcision cured all those ailments, because weren't a lot of those ailments associated with masturbation?
Exactly. And, you know, people used to think you could go blind from masturbation and get scoliosis. And, you know, we're much more enlightened about these things, and we measure medical procedures such as circumcision with a much more of a benefit-detriment attitude. And you have to pay for it now.
I know.
The medical system does not do it for free anymore.
It doesn't cover since 85.
And you have to, you know, it doesn't happen in the hospital. You have to bring your baby back to the hospital and pay for it in full, and mm-hmm. it's not covered by medical. So that's kind of an advancement, which I'm really glad about, because it's not essential. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to think it was essential, and it's so far from essential. I mean, why would Mother Nature create a foreskin if there was no need for it?
Exactly.
We're phasing the pinkies out of our toes. Yes, I can see we're all in shoes and we don't have to stabilize our body. So mm-hmm. the pinky toe is starting to phase out. The teeth, you know, the wisdom teeth at the back of our mouth are starting to phase out, because we don't have to break bones with our teeth anymore and those kind of unusable things. But the foreskin is not going anywhere.
No.
And you know, it is not an unnecessary organ. It is a very necessary organ for multiple reasons. So we're going to...
On my soapbox. But what I find interesting, and I think it's interesting, there's a lot of adults. I've actually got two guy friends, actually, who chose to get circumcised as adults just to see if it would make their cocks a little bit more sensitive and if they derive a little bit more pleasure from sex.
What happened there?
What I found really interesting is the one that I interviewed not only expected to experience difference in pleasure, he's had herpes for quite a long time, and he used to get herpes outbreaks. He forgot to ask him whether it was simplex 1 or 2, but he used to get the outbreaks on his foreskin, and once the foreskin was removed, he hasn't had an outbreak in the last 5 years since the removals happened. So, I mean, if that was the case, that would definitely be an interesting reason to become circumcised. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, because I would have thought that foreskin might have possibly protected them from venereal disease.
It does. It does protect from certain venereal disease. Mm-hmm. I mean, venereal.
Sorry, excuse me. I can't believe I used that one.
Ancient. It does protect from some STIs.
Thank you.
That's one of the main reasons for it.
Mm-hmm.
Same with women. We have all this labia and skin and folds
to protect
us from, you know, bacteria and things getting inside the penis. Now, the thing is if you have sex with a natural penis and bacteria and viruses get under the foreskin because you haven't cleaned it, then obviously it's going to harbor and be nice and warm and protected and moist, and things will grow more easily there like they do in any other warm and moist environment. So, yes, it's all about being clean. It's about using protection. It's about using condoms. It's not about the fact that you're going to, you know, maybe you will get chlamydia or gonorrhea or herpes or
HIV
easier, because if you've exposed yourself to those pathogens or antigens, and then you don't wash after, or you're not using a condom, then obviously you're going to. But it's a simple practice of keeping yourself clean and using safer sex practices with different people you don't know.
Exactly.
You know, and it's no different, right? So it's not a good enough excuse to remove an essential organ. I really don't agree with that. And some of the studies we're going to talk about later in the show,
definitely.
But I wanted to address the one about the herpes thing. If he was getting his primary outbreaks and every time he got a sore, it was on his foreskin, and he has his foreskin removed, then that's the major site of where the virus expresses itself. So he's still got the virus in his body. It's just that the major site where the link to the outside of his body has been cut off. So he's probably not going to ever get another one, because that link has been cut off. So it's like, unless he gets exposed to another sore from someone else on another part of his body, like on his head of his penis or on the shaft of his penis or something, you know, he may not get another outbreak, or he may as well. The herpes virus may repath itself
to
another part of his penis. It's not going to, you know, it doesn't remove it. I mean, that's a nice benefit that he's receiving from removing the area of his skin where he gets an outbreak. And I mean, I don't know if you have... Maybe that's going to be the newest research in herpes. It's like, if you get an outbreak in the same spot all the time, we're just going to remove that spot of skin, and then it'll break the path, and then you'll never get another sore. So who knows? Maybe it's going to...
That's true.
But I can't say that that's really worth circumcising over anyway.
No, definitely not. Well, actually, in 1981, Warner and Stranek wrote that that herpes appeared to be the only sexually transmitted disease that was associated with circumcision status. And Strachan actually defended his statement the following year, saying that if the circumcision prevents herpes or deters in its transmission, how can we explain the phenomenal rise, which, as we know, back then, there was a huge rise in the incidence of that disease to epidemic proportions, particularly among the most sexually active males between the ages of 15 to 25, of whom perhaps 75% are circumcised. So I thought that was quite interesting. Nevertheless, in 1975, the American Academy of Pediatrics Task Force reported adequate studies to determine the relationship between circumcision and the incidence of venereal disease has not been performed. And obviously, that statement's completely outdated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an old statement. And also, it's, you know, I think Dr. Fellman, who was the director of the VD control clinic, said that he doesn't believe that circumcision is of any value in preventing herpes. So, you know, I mean, he's retracted and that statement. And I don't know. I think, you know, virtually all STIs occur more frequently among men with a natural penis that have been, that have not had their foreskin removed. And it's that statement that was made so long ago is no longer true. I mean, recent studies have demonstrated that circumcised men are at an increased risk of contracting gonorrhea, syphilis, and genital warts. Those are some of the things that a foreskin helps to fight against.
To protect.
So, you know, men are at equal risk for developing HPV and warts and herpes virus infections regardless of their circumcision status. And I don't know, other studies as well have shown that HIV occurs more commonly in circumcised men. Some studies say it occurs in others. I think that, you know, recently there's been some new studies that have said that, you know, there's the what were you talking about, the AIDS study?
The AIDS study. Actually, I thought that was just, it just blew me away, actually, with the AIDS study, that it was actually protecting women in Uganda, which that blew me away in terms of reducing the risk of women getting HIV. In February of 2006, the John Hopkins Medicine actually did a study on 300 couples in Uganda.
And so it's very recent.
It's really recent. And the study, it's the first of the clinical trials. So I'm very curious to see what the next couple are going to do. Apparently provide solid documentation about the protective effects of male circumcision reducing the risk of infection among the women, and specifically this male circumcision reduced 30% likelihood that the female partner would become infected with the virus that causes AIDS, and with 299 women contracting HIV from uncircumcised partner and only 44 of the women becoming infected by the circumcised men. And similarly, I thought this was really neat too, that there were similar reductions in risks were observed for two different types of infection, reducing the rates of trichomonas and bacteria vaginosis in female partners. And the study is actually believed to be the first to demonstrate the benefits for female partners of male circumcision. And I can't wait to see the results of the next two trials before they currently recommend circumcision in that part of the world.
Again, it sounds to me that it's a cleanliness thing, because BV is purely a dirty, unclean playing with the vagina. So either dirty fingers, you know, an unclean cock, whatever it might be, it's like it's going to cause BV. You know, dirty toys, whatever the case may be. You know, it's so I don't know. And trick is also something that's a dirt. Like if you're not clean. So again, I don't know. It comes down to the clean thing for me.
I guess so. Yeah, because there's.
Anyway, I think, you know, unfortunately, I was like, we have to take a break. It's like, I just want to quickly say that, you know, the foreskin is a very special organ. And it's got cells like no other cells on any other part of the human body. So, you know, it's very special. And I don't think that, you know, something that has such important functions to take away is not really a good idea. I mean, it's like, why would you remove your tonsils? It's like they realize now that removing your tonsils has really detrimental effects later in life and your, you know, immune system functioning and all the rest of it. So, I don't know. I could go into what the foreskin's about, but basically, just let, you know, think about the backs of your eyelids and the inside of your mouth. There's specific cells that have specific functions of lubrication, of protection, you know, all those things, and providing you know, sensitivity. And yeah. and it's really important that we keep them intact. And, you know, I don't mean to diss the religions out there if it's part of your religious practice and mm-hmm. you're not going to be stopping that any other time soon. But if you're one of those parents who's really concerned and doesn't know what to do with your baby boy and, you know, daddy's had his cut and you want him to look like daddy, I just want to tell you that child, when he grows up, may want to know why you did something to him without his consent.
Yes.
And so, you know, think again, think twice, think three times, listen to the show. And we're going to talk more about sort of the pleasure aspects of things in the second half of the show.
Mm-hmm. And, so stay tuned and give us a call if you have any questions, because we're going to have a little bit more after our short break. And as you know, we welcome your calls. So please give us a call about questions to circumcise or not. And get on podcast forever. If you're going to give us a call at 604-822-2487, that's 604-UBC-CITR.
And make sure that if you're feeling like spending some money tonight, that you do the fund drive and log on to CITR.ca/donate and donate as much money as you possibly can.
Especially if you want to go for a date.
If you want to go on a double date with Caroline and Julia, do it now.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. I can never. What is wrong with me? I'm such a bad engineer.
No, not at all.
Agree that human rights abuses are unfair. You understand your feelings.
And you're not afraid to share.
And I think I could do something with your hair. You smell nice.
And you're groovy.
And we both like foreign movies. My mother says you have that touch of class.
Well, I can see a shining future
where we'll dialogue and nurture.
But there's one last thing I feel I need to ask. Do you take it in the ass? Do you take it in the ass? 'Cause you're beautiful and curvy, but unless you're kind of pervy, there's no way you and me are gonna last. Do you take it in the ass? Do you take it in the ass? When it comes to brains, you've got them, but unless you play the bottom, I'm afraid I'm gonna have to take a pass. Well, you're adorable, reliable, but is your anus pliable? That's the information that I need. Well, you would do it if you love me. If you're nervous, squat above me, you'll be able to. Depth and speed. Do you take it in the ass? Do you take it in the ass? 'Cause I've ordered in a shipment of the relevant equipment. I've got lubricant and poppers and some brass. Do you take it in the ass? Do you take it in the ass? If you need more information on this type of penetration, we can always take a correspondence class. You see, I'm not the kind of fella who can get off on vanilla. No, I need a little color in my sex.
Well, honey pie, it just so happens that I brought my Day-Glo strap on and some mescaline to heighten the effect.
Ready?
Do you take it in the ass? Do you take it in the ass? Ooh, do you take it in the ass?
Come to
fun.
Well,
fun.
Cloaks itself in a plethora of disguises. Its favorite mantle still remains.
Fun. Fun.
Devours all it touches. Its voracious appetite rarely fulfilled. Yet
fun
doesn't only destroy. It creates and molds as well. Molds as well. Let's examine closely then this dangerously evil creation. This new breed. But a word of caution, handle it with care, and don't drop your guard. This rapacious new breed prowls both alone and in packs, operating at any level, any time, anywhere, and with anybody. Who are they? Who are they?
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, we're back.
You're back in Juice Box.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening. Tonight we're talking about the ongoing debate, if you've just joined us, about whether to circumcise or not to circumcise your baby boy. That is the question. If you missed the first half of the show, you can get it on podcast by checking out juiceboxradio.com or citr.ca after the show. Before the break, Julia, you were telling us what the foreskin's for, and, well, we are going to talk about natural penises and pleasure, so I don't even know where to start when it comes to pleasure.
Well, I mean, I'd like to address the issue of a natural or uncut cock and a circumcised one from the perspective of a female lover to a man. I tend to like to try to be diverse in the sexual discussions, but tonight we're going to talk about as a female lover to a man. For most women, the issue as to whether a man has a natural penis is mostly related to oral sex.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
So, you know, I find that most women who prefer a circumcised man do so because of the aesthetic, like the way it looks, of the exposed glands. They like the clean and tidy, simple arrowhead kind of shape of a circumcised penis rather than the kind of turtleneck look of a natural cock.
I love that turtleneck look. The only time I've ever heard that is from my brother's friend, Charles, who, yeah, doesn't exist anymore. But perhaps we are stimulated by what we see a lot more than I thought we were. And I always thought guys were the ones who were stimulated by the visual. But personally, in general, even though I've had both, I do tend to prefer circumcised because of the way it feels inside.
Oh, really? Because during intercourse, there aren't any huge sensory differences to circumcised versus natural penises. I mean, besides, the discerning bits are usually out of our vantage point during those times.
I suppose, but I mean, if he's got like the perfect mushroom-shaped head, and, well, let's put it this way, I really love that, and, yeah, I'm probably getting into way too much personal detail here, but it just fits directly above that part, that area that feels kind of sort of like a shelf inside, which you were describing as bone earlier.
Yeah, your pubic bone inside, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And above that is where the G-spot is, yes.
Exactly, which is probably why I like it, because it just feels absolutely amazing, but aesthetically, it can be pretty pleasing, too. Yeah.
Well, during intercourse, like I said, the discerning bits are usually out of our vantage point. And I think that when the penis is in our faces and in our mouths, that's when we have the chance to appreciate the differences between either school of thought.
That is true. Sometimes it's easier to satisfy somebody orally.
When they're uncircumcised?
When they're cut.
When they're cut.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Because
yeah.
I have the opposite experience. I think, you know, you might be one of those women who believes that when it comes to oral sex, a circumcised penis is easier to drive, kind of like an automatic transmission in a car.
I think we should avoid all sentences with me and driving in the mission. Well, I had a car accident learning to drive, so I'm really scary. But seriously, I do think it's easier to gauge someone's reaction when they are circumcised, and it's also easier to check and see if they're practicing good hygiene.
Well, I mean, I think when you have an uncircumcised... When you have a circumcised cock, it's like hygiene is obviously more, you know, not as big of a deal. I mean, everything's kind of hanging out there. It's like licking somebody's arm, you know, like they're not going to have a lot of the sort of smells and tastes and things. And
true.
Like, think about a woman. I mean, if we didn't wash ourselves once a day, we're going to have some game going on.
That's
that,
true.
You know, and schmegma that, you know,
but that's
people
why
don't necessarily like to eat so or smell. But I mean...
Why you go for foreplay in the shower? It's like, hello, baby.
you've been out working hard all day. Let's have a shower.
Why don't you come and let me wash your back for you, and you can wash other parts of my anatomy, and I'll take care of you, too.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I think, you know, women who prefer a natural penis, and I hate to use that because it's a loaded comment, but so is saying uncircumcised or uncut. Like, it's just the way it was in the beginning. How do you
all
say
right.
that? I don't know. It's all such loaded. Anyway, but I think that people who prefer a natural penis tend to make this decision based on a conscientious objection to circumcision, or because they simply enjoy that little extra something to tease and tantalize during oral sex. I mean, a foreskin provides all kinds of benefits and extra bits to play with.
I really can't wait till we teach that how to give great head workshop that we're going to do, because I have this feeling you and I have completely different technique. And considering I know that
we both have had positive reviews.
Very positive reviews.
Men coming back after they've broken up with their last lovers.
And hello, please come give me a head. Please, please. Yeah, among other things, So we're gonna teach other women how to do it and trade. Yeah.
I think we're going to have a workshop on this.
I think we're going to have one. We've already got a wait list, so.
We have to give a good blowjob. More about that in December. I think it'll probably
definitely
be December 10th or something.
I think that'd be cool. A little bit of something extra for Christmas. XXXmas. So much sexier than Christmas. So do you care to indulge some of our readers, just to give them a little bit of a tidbit to tease them before the workshop as to why some women prefer to give an uncircumcised man oral sex?
I was just about to.
It's
believed that men with natural penises have a greater sensitivity, obviously, than circumcised men. So you can get kind of more bang for your buck when you indulge a natural penis in your oral technique. And besides, a natural penis can be kept just as clean and hygienic as a circumcised one. It's only foreskin, nothing to be afraid of.
As I said earlier, you know, if you find it unhygienic, take the foreplay to the shower.
Yeah, and by the way, you women out there who like to complain about the flavors of a natural penis, well, just think about all the little folds and wetness that our lovers, for the most part, lap up lovingly and willingly. So for some lovers of men with natural penises, it's just a matter of getting used to it. For others, these men have to keep it as clean as possible. I mean, I think most women don't let a lover go down them unless they were clean, right?
Definitely.
And shower time.
Mm-hmm. And side note on that, please be very, very careful whatever you start in that shower. I mean, I love having sex in different places, but just please don't break your leg in quest for pleasure.
So I think for the squeamish, you know, body parts do have odors and tastes. And at some point you have to accept that people smell and taste like people, not like candy or some other thing. And the best you can ask for is that your lover is freshly showered. And if they're a little rank, then there should be no embarrassment about asking them to freshen up for you. And as we said earlier, you can make it a part of foreplay. So personally, I like to have a little game on my lovers. I like a little bit of smell, a little bit of odor and taste, because really all of those pheromones are what you're absorbing.
That's true.
In your nose, in your mouth, and in your, you know, and tantric wise, those pheromones play a very important part in arousal and in circulating sexual energy between you and your lovers. So
fair enough.
Anyway, now, like, the topic of circumcision has always been a hot one for me, and I think, you know, for men out there who are circumcised, perhaps you can just bear with me. You know, so speaking of power, just in the last 4 years, the biggest names in pediatric health have recommended that we no longer circumcise our babies, not for health or for any other reason. And, you know, I think that, for me, I think around the pleasure stuff, it's like, why do we want to do that? You know, having a natural penis, it's like it has this extra sheath of skin that moves on the shaft. So what it does is it reduces the need for lubricant when you're having, it reduces as much as you need in anal sex, for sure. You always have to use lubricant anyway in anal sex, but
gun oil,
it reduces
please.
A little bit less, you know, you need less. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you need a lot less vaginally. You don't need to use lubricant to do a hand job. The skin moves on the shaft on its own. So you can do a hand job under the table at a restaurant. Like, you don't need to get the lube pack out and do all this other business and spit on your hand constantly.
That's true.
So, you know, that's really a handy thing. And their erections tend to be harder, because they have more sensitivity. So even over when they're 30 or 35, still quite young, their erections can be a lot harder. And personally, I think that just that the fact that you don't have all that extra friction going on, because the skin is moving, and when the skin is inside your body or on your hand or in your mouth, you don't have to get so raw in the areas that, because there's very reduced friction.
I think I just
friction.
Like being raw.
You like the raw, you like
I think
the friction?
I do, so yeah, it's a
well,
personal preference.
Well, you've had
preference.
Both. You've
yes,
had
I've
both.
Had both. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed both, but there is something about being raw once in a while.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we were talking about the trials around HIV and doing in Africa, and you know what, and I. if you were saying, Caroline.
Well, I was saying, I mean, in terms of circumcise or uncircumcise, I'm really on the fence about this one. Especially until those clinical trials are completed in Uganda. If it can save somebody from HIV, but as you said, if they're practicing safe sex, but the question is, in that part of the world, are they? And how does that affect us in North America as well, mm-hmm. in that term? So I've got really, 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 really mixed feelings about it. But one thing that really concerns me, as you were touching base about earlier, is that a baby cannot give informed consent. So it's one thing if they choose to do it as an adult, which, as I was mentioning, I do know some men who have chosen to do that as adults. It's really challenging. And as you were mentioning earlier, what about people who have... had it done as a child. Yeah. Well, there's people who, you know, if you're upset about that, where, you know, you wish that you weren't circumcised as a kid, where that decision was taken from you because your parents decided. Mm-hmm. There is an organization called norm.org, which stands for the National Organization of Restoring Men. And this is a not-for-profit group for men who have concerned about being circumcised and are considering foreskin restoration or in the process of restoring their foreskin. And their aim is to help men regain a sense of self-directedness, both physically as well as emotionally. So if you needed any help there, they're a really good resource, which, again, that's norm.org.
Mm-hmm. And I spoke to somebody at Gay Pride here a number of years ago, James Lowen, his name mm-hmm. was, and he was a huge advocate for this and was involved with the Norm and was talking about how he considers it butchering and equivalent to female circumcision, removing our foreskin off of our clitorises, mm-hmm. and we have the same, a very tiny small band of the same material, the same cell structure in that covers our clitorises and the hood of our clitoris, so that skin also plays a very important part in sensitivity, lubrication, protection from STIs and other, you know, bacteria just normally. He's like a big advocate for that, and mm-hmm. I can't find his information, but man.
I wish we were able to, because mm-hmm. He has a group that's very similar to one that was started in a support group for men. Mm-hmm. That there's one similar in Montreal that I was able to find some information on, where they meet monthly to exchange information, and the members follow instructions contained in a book called The Joy of Uncircumcising, which was written by Jim Bigelow, who's the founder and the director of UNCIR. Which is
an UNCIRC.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's an anti-circumcision lobby group in the U.S. Yeah.
And the members practice every day in the privacy of their own home, where they practice stretching the skin on their penile shaft as much as they can without hurting, and then they use surgical tape and attach it to the glands. And once the glands have stretched enough to
once the skin has been stretched enough over the to sort of cover half the glands, yeah.
They can attach a weighted device to the tape to help pull it the rest of the way over the glands mm-hmm. by the force of gravity, and apparently this takes 3 years to complete.
Mm-hmm. Nice thing about that, and I've talked to some men that have done this practice and have regained at least a little bit of the benefit, the benefits I was talking about of foreskin around not having as much friction on your lovers and being able to masturbate and do hand jobs without mm-hmm. lube and all the other things, and just having that sort of sliding action that is available for you when you have a foreskin. So you can get that back, but you can't actually get the sort of sensitivity mm-hmm. that I'm talking about with, like, the cell structures, because the foreskin cells laid against the glands of your penis cells, they talk to each other. They have, like, a relationship, a symbiotic relationship.
Nice.
So that relationship is not there when you just have your shaft skin pulled over. But what it does provide is helping you protect your glands, so it keeps it sensitive, mm-hmm. more sensitive to touch, and that kind of benefit can be returned to you. So I think that's pretty important. And if I do ever find James Lowen's information, I'll put it on the blog.
And we got to encourage people to check out our blog to see about our upcoming events that we're going to be doing about sexuality coming to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we owe them a few tips on giving head. And mm-hmm. on that note, we'll have to let them know once our XXXmas workshop on how to give great head is booked.
Yeah, it'll be soon. It'll probably be like December 10th or something like that. Yeah. But definitely email us for other workshops you'd like us to host if you have any ideas that you'd like the Juice Box Girls to speak to. I'm going to be branching out into the world outside of the box, outside of the CITR box, which is getting more grisly and old and broken down over time. I can't even tell you. It's just like this place needs overhauling, man, and has been. I've been here for over 3 years. It is in need of some repairs and some upkeep. And you know, really, 25 years of service, I think it's been an essential service. Huge. Campus and community radio, shows like Juicebox, where we talk about sex completely openly, and we can have all kinds of opinions being stated over online, I mean, over the air, and other services that are just not stated on CBC or these other, you know, stations. I think we're doing quite a service to the community, and it's your opportunity to give back by pledging. And if you use our name, Juice Box, then we get kudos for that. So,
please do.
Yeah, and just visit http://citr.ca/donate or call between 10 and 8 p.m. from 604-822-8648. That's 822-8648 to donate. Please do so tonight, right now. Do it today. But, you know, back to the circumcision thing, I just want to quickly end the show with this, and that is, I've been talking about this, which has been about 3 years, I've had several people tell me their stories or stories of friends that they've heard. One of them I heard from tonight was that a friend of a friend got circumcised, and he was 30 when he got circumcised because of some infection or something. And he basically said that he does last longer.
Okay.
So, of course, the sensitivity is being reduced. Mm-hmm. So that's speaking to the study that we talked about earlier in the hour.
Yeah.
So it's true. It will reduce your sensitivity. It will prolong your ejaculation, which tantric practice will do a better job of anyway without a foreskin. You can have your foreskin and get your tantra. But he said that he had that he's had, like, trouble getting firmer erections. He doesn't have as firm of erections either. So that was one story.
Okay.
Other stories I've heard have been like how the penis has gotten like so tight that it's like you can't even get a full erection without it hurting because like the skin is so tight on the whole thing, and it pulls so much, right?
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I have seen so many botched circumcision jobs of the lovers over the years that I've seen, with like, you know, kind of like all on a slant, and it's kind of pulling the penis one way and giving them quite a curve. Like a lot of these curved penises out there, they're not natural. Like that.
No.
I mean, sometimes they are. Often they'll be curved toward the body. That's quite normal in kind of a banana shape.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go off to the right or left quite significantly, that's usually a botched circumcision job.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's not a cool thing. I don't know.
No,
like, it's fine as far as it might be kinky and fun. And certain positions, you're going to get the G-spot a lot better. But
and some people are suing now and getting reconstructive on that as well.
You have a story, don't you?
There's a couple stories about that. I just don't have all the details in front of me, so I'm a little reluctant, but one of the ones is I was trying to find a little bit of information on, and hopefully in a later show we'll be able to follow up on this, where he was actually at school, and the teacher actually did it there when he was preteen, and actually the courts just awarded him some money, although it was interesting that it wasn't a civil suit as well against the two people who actually did it, the teacher and I believe it was the principal, if not... Which that just blew me away, because that's just so... Well, it's inhumane. I mean, as you're saying, it's informed consent.
Yeah, it's informed consent. And then also, I mean, speaking on the other side of that, let's speak to the people. Like, I mean, I have known people in my life, two people specifically, that really, really resent their parents for not circumcising them earlier in life. They had to get kind of what's called an emergency circumcision because of some medical infection issue or something, you know, chronic infection that they're getting in their foreskin and having it removed. Well, one of them has been impotent for the last 5 years and has not been able to get an erection because of the pain from the natural erections you get during the night would wake him up because when he was recovering from the surgery. So he's like permanently can't get it up at all. Poor guy. But and then the other one was super resentful as well because it's so painful. I mean, you're having to recover with this traumatic experience.
But what would have happened if they didn't circumcise him, though, with that infection? Well,
it's often what it is it's a choice.
22.
Yeah, it's a choice between the doctor and the patient. Like, if you have a warm, moist area, that sore, whatever it might have been caused by, whether it's from, sexual exertion where you're too rough and you're opening it up and it keeps getting infected. Yeah. You kind of have to do special stuff to keep it dry and keep it clean and keep it from getting, keep the infection from getting worse or not going away. And, it's the same thing as anything else. You get some cut inside of your mouth or inside your nose or somewhere where there's mucosis, flu, that kind of cells. You have to treat it differently until it's healed. It's just sort of... you don't just lop off the organ.
No, that's like but my question
causing the problem.
Yeah.
So I think doctors often do it because they're like, well, we can't circumcise you if you're having chronic, tears or sores or whatever. We can circumcise you, right? And so a lot of men are like, okay, we'll go for it. Sometimes they're like, well, why not? Like, so many men are circumcised. Why not me? I'll be okay.
Yeah.
And they get it done and they're happy. So, I can't speak for everyone. I just think for me, the biggest issue is the consent part.
Yes.
And the fact that it was, Mother Nature made the blinking thing for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's just obvious, benefits and protection and all those things. So I just think, why mess with something if it's not broken?
Well, I think less parents are. I didn't get a chance to check the stats in terms of babies being born just present day in the last 5 years or so. How many parents are still circumcising?
Oh, it's greatly reduced. I mean, kids these days, I swear to God, of all the babies I see, which is quite a bit.
I was just going to say within our own social circle.
Yeah, they're just nobody's doing it.
I don't know anybody who's circumcised their child.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a change. Whereas for us, growing up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've never found anyone.
There's natural penises I've seen more of them recently, but.
I never see them.
It's in comparison to like when we're growing up, most people were circumcised. So I have this feeling it'll be different for the kids when they get a little bit older.
I think so. And of course, the more that you look like everyone else around you looks like that, the more it's more normalized
it's
in society.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, well, and so let's just hope it keeps happening.
I guess it's the end
of the show. The end of our show, darling.
Yeah, well, I hope we offered everybody, and I think we offered them a fairly insightful show. We're going to be back next Wednesday. Actually, Julia will be back next Wednesday. It's my birthday, so I'm taking it off.
Yeah, it's Caroline's birthday. She's taking it off. And I have some guests coming up from Seattle, some pretty exciting guests coming on to the show next week. And I'm going to I'm going to put a big blog up on about who's coming. So I'm going to leave that announcement and encourage you listeners to check out the website juiceboxradio.com and find out who it's going to be, our special guests.
So you got to check us out and contribute your own thoughts about our shows, the content, especially tonight because it's a pretty heated topic.
Yeah,
so
send us a note, ask us some questions, your opinions, whatever it might be. It's nice to know that someone's listening out there because, sometimes we don't get any calls, we don't get anything happening, and we got this blog now, we don't get anybody writing to us. And we're like, does anyone care?
I know. We don't want to be Miss Unpopulars.
Yeah.
We want to be popular. So make us popular. And on that note, don't forget to donate. But while you're doing it, why don't you stay on and stay tuned for Hans Kloss's Misery Hour next.
And thanks for dropping in to Juicebox Radio. We'll be back next week at the sexy hour
of 10 p.m.
10 o'clock.
Sexy hour, misery hour. Can I sign up for that workshop?
Yes, darling.
I think Hans wants to sign up for our blowjob workshop.
Ooh, how exciting.
That could be quite lovely.
I think he has a natural penis, too.
I think he might have his
own. I have a feeling.
We might have to ask him to show us.
All right, let's do it.
I forgot, we're on air.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're gonna have to give it to me. You're